May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. 383.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the Gospel according to St. Luke, part of chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, commencing to read at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we do pray to be enabled by thee truly to pray. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Of ourselves, we don't have the heart to it. And Lord, we certainly do not of ourselves have the faith that is needed. For he that cometh to thee must believe that thou art, and that thou art the rewarder of those that diligently seek thee. Oh, we do pray for faith now to be given us, raising us above ourselves, above vain repetitions, Lord, above all other grounds upon which we may try to come to thee. We may truly be found coming to thee in the way we've sung of, pleading the name, the blood, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. O Lord, do make us each poor enough to do so. Lord, oh, have mercy upon us. We do beg the forgiveness of all our sins. Wash us thoroughly from them. Oh, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And do subdue our iniquities. Lord, do grant the favour that thou hast promised. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Oh, let that grace come even to us, even here this afternoon in thy house. Lord, that grace, all sufficient, that grace which would never be exhausted. Lord, thou hast poured out that grace for thousands of years. And yet, Lord, there is still as much in thee. There is a fullness, Lord, in thee, Lord Jesus, and thou art the infinite one. And Lord, we do pray that that grace which sufficed saints of old, which made them strong and made them bold, may be given to us, that it may make us strong, strong in the Lord, weak in self. And Lord, make us weak enough. Lord, bring us down low enough. Oh Lord, we do pray for that powerful compelling to thy feet, that it say to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Lord, bring us down from all self-righteousness. Bring us down from thinking we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowing not that we are poor and naked and blind and poor and miserable. Oh, we do pray that we might be found at thy feet, pleading of thee for that gold tried in the fire, that white raiment that we may be clothed, that the shame of our nakedness do not appear, and our eyes to be anointed with thy salve that we may see. Lord, we do plead there thy blessing, thy presence. Oh, may thy name here be glorified. Lord, in the salvation of thy people, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Lord, we do pray it may be so this afternoon. Do speak that word with thy power, that it may declare from whence it came and whither it goes, and all may it come to us. Lord, hear the petitions. Thou knowest where there is that heart that goes with a petition. Let it come to us. To me, Lord. To me. Lord, we're vile. We're undone. The good that we would, we do not. Lord, our hearts are treacherous, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, we cannot. Let alone cure it. But Lord, thou knowest it. And thou dost make it known in some measure to thy people. Lord, leave us not to be ignorant of our own hearts. That in that knowledge of our need, in that feeling sense of our need, and then as taught by thy Spirit, we may flee to Christ. For Lord, we cannot be healed before we're wounded. 'Tis the guilty sinner that is pardoned. 'Tis the lost that are saved. 'Tis the feeling the dead that are raised to life. 'Tis the blind that have their eyes opened. 'Tis the deaf that have their ears unstopped. 'Tis the leper that is cleansed. And all of thy grace, we pray that thou would satisfy thy people out of thyself, with thyself, even this day. Lord, do send thy Spirit down to reveal thy Son to them. For Lord, thou art satisfied in him, and thou wilt not leave thy people to be satisfied with anything less than him whom thou art satisfied with. O Lord, help those to keep praying, whom thou hast made to really want thee. And help those, Lord, to keep praying who realise they need thee to make them really want thee. And Lord, do satisfy, according to thy word, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that is that knocketh, it shall be opened. Lord, do grant that we may be true seekers and finders. Oh, we do pray to know thee, Lord Jesus, to know thee as ours, to know that thou didst die for our sins on Calvary's cross, to know that thou didst fulfill the law for us. Lord, that thou didst die and rise again and didst ascend and dost intercede for us. And that thou wilt come again and receive us unto thyself. That where thou art there, we may be also. Lord, what a prospect. The alternative is unspeakably solemn. The prospect is unspeakably blessed to thy people. Lord, to see thee as thou art, to love thee from an unsinning heart, Lord, to never sin. Lord, oh, to be able to worship thee in the beauty of holiness, in the fullness of it, to behold thy glory as we cannot here below. Our poor, frail tabernacles couldn't stand it. Lord, to be free of this clay. Oh, to be with thee. Lord, have mercy then. Grant that we may be made right and kept right. Grant, Lord, that heaven may be peace through the precious blood of Emmanuel. Oh, grant, we beg, the sweet foretaste, may they be given a foretaste of glory even today. For Lord, every time thou dost show thyself, every time thou dost drop a word from thy blessed lips into the hearts of thy people, it's a foretaste that make them say, if such the sweetness of the stream, what must the fountain be where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee? We do pray for grace to serve thee in newness of spirit here below. Forgive our fleshliness. Forgive our dead works. All our own works are dead ones. Purge our conscience and those dead works by the precious blood of Christ. We might serve the Lord in newness of spirit. Oh, shed abroad that love, Lord. That love that caused thee to give thy beloved Son. That love that caused thee, Lord Jesus, to so willingly come and do all that thou didst, suffer all that thou didst suffer, die that accursed death. Lord, let that love the love of the Spirit, in the quickening of the dead, the instruction and leading of thy people. Let that love be shed abroad in our heart. Bless this people. We seek, Lord, thy presence with them here. We seek, Lord, thy Spirit's abiding influence. We pray, Lord, that the word may be mighty through thee in this place. To the calling of the dead, the establishment, strengthening and settling of the living. Lord, the feeding, the nourishing, the correction, the instruction of thy sheep and lambs. Lord, do bless them indeed. Oh, may this place be made to them, as we believe it has been to some. The house of God, the very gate of heaven, a Bethel to their souls. Lord, oh, do grant them a living ministry. If it is thy holy will, we plead, subject to thy will, for the fulfillment of thy promise to thy church. I'll give thee pastors after mine own heart, who will feed thee with knowledge and with understanding. Go in and out among you. Lord, help pastors. Thou knowest the way that they take. Lord, the bitter things and the sweet things, the painful things, the blessed things. Lord, thou knowest the long silence. Lord, it is according to thy working when that silence is broken and one has to come and tell what thou hast done. And Lord, that is not because of the pastor. It is of thee. Lord, help thy servants to go on, instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, we pray for deacons. Lord, bless their labours. Help them to pray. Lord, help them in their office. Lord, oh, we do pray for each member of the Church of God. Thou hast granted them that grace needed to esteem other better than themselves, to bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, keep us from ourselves. The cause of all discord is self. The blessed source of unity, Christ. Oh, then, crucify this self, we pray. Lord, forgive their sins. Blot them out, Lord. Overcome them, come over them. And reign, Lord Jesus, in us. Add unto this church and thy church throughout the earth such as shall be saved. Lord, bless the families. We seek for our children and young people. Thy grace, according to thy holy will, that are able to put it in the heart of the very youngest. And Lord, thou are able to put it in the heart of the very oldest. Oh, we beg for it. Bless our children with thy fear. Keep them safe. Preserve them, Lord, in these perilous times. Lord, oh, do help them as they go forth to school and later to college, university, employment. Lord, thou art the keeper of thy people. We beg thou'st keep them. Keep them, Lord, from the evil. Deliver them from the evil of their own hearts. Guide and direct them. Provide for them. Make honourable ways for them in these difficult days. Help those, Lord, that find themselves in conflict because of the fear of the Lord. Conflict with those that fear thee not, conflict, Lord, even with the laws of this country and laws of other countries, because of the fear of the Lord. Help them, Lord, to take their matters to the Supreme Court of Heaven and sue them out there. For shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? We pray for the overruling of those in authority. Have mercy on Britain. In wrath remember mercy. Deal not with us as we richly deserve. Spare us, especially, Lord, we plead, thou hast not unchurched this land. Leave it not to become a completely apostate land. Grant yet the ministry of the Spirit, the Word of God, yet to have a true Church of God, and we, Lord, among those members. We beg for those in other lands, oppressed, persecuted, harassed, tormented, homeless. Lord, thy word speaks of them, of whom the world was not worthy. Bless them and help them. Deliver them, Lord, whether it be by life or by death. Provide for them. We thank thee for all thy goodness and mercy to us, thy safe conduct over each one of us in gathering us here this afternoon, and thy long-suffering patience and forbearance toward us. For that is the greatest wonder, Lord, in all thy preservation. Lord, why has not the sword struck us down? It's not because we are better than those that have been struck down. We thank thee, Lord, especially for thy word and for thy dear Son, thy unspeakable gift. In remembrance, Lord, of all thou hast done, Lord, how this should make us ashamed of all that we have done since. Oh, grant us that godly shame, the sweet shame and sweet love the hymn writer speaks of. Gracious Lord, continue thy mercies. Pardon all we've asked amiss. Help us now, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 146. Where must a sinner fly who feels his guilty load and stands condemned to die? Out of the mouth of God, can any door of hope be found? Not any shore on nature's ground. 146.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 7, reading verses 48, 49 and 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 48 to 50. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I am sure it is the living desire of every one of the Lord's people, by the grace of God, at least at times in their life, to be brought where this woman was brought. They prove they cannot bring themselves there. But the word of the Lord says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. The desire that he himself is the author of. We have no greater need, any of us here this afternoon, than this, the forgiveness of our sins. Well, might the hymn writers say, if sin be pardoned, I'm secure. Death has no hold beside. The blessedness of a forgiven sinner. That oneness with God. That acceptance. That eternal inheritance that is manifestly theirs. The removal of the sting of death, which is sin. The removal of that separating wall the hymn writer speaks of. The separating wall of sin. Break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Because it is in the forgiveness of sin that the love of God is blessedly, in the fullest measure it is known here below, it pours into a sinner's soul. Oh, the awfulness. The awfulness, if any of us here this afternoon should die without forgiveness. Just as the blessedness I've spoken of is unspeakable, so this awfulness of dying in our sins is unspeakable. A never-ending eternity of banishment from God. If that separating wall is never broken down by God, that sinner will be eternally separated from God by their sins. Cast out into outer darkness, where their worm, a guilty conscience, continually gnaws away. where that fire of the Lord's anger and wrath is never quenched, and that pit into which he himself casts them is a bottomless pit. And that eternity of woe is a never-ending eternity. After a million years, if we might speak of it like that, it is only just begun. All these things are beyond our words. They are beyond our mind to comprehend. But God teaches things which are beyond our minds. How he gives faith. And faith first has to do with God in his holiness and in his justice. In his righteousness. It first has to do with God with regard to his holy law. And this woman in this account we've read this afternoon evidently had that faith given her. She was evidently a born-again sinner. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." That woman would never have wept as she did at Jesus' feet if she hadn't been born again of the Spirit. Oh, my dear friend, we have a nature that will not weep over sin, cannot weep over sin. Cannot be grieved over it, cannot feel it, cannot realize it as a dreadful affront to the majesty of God. And I believe everyone that is born again, one of the first evidences of that new birth is a beginning to be conscious of sin. A beginning to be conscious of God and of oneself before God. But the words I've named as a text are the words of the Son of God to this woman. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." But I feel that I must try and preach from this text as the Lord may help me. From the end of it, rather from the beginning. Because in verse 50, the Lord said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." So there was that granted unto her by God through Christ Jesus before she had the forgiveness of her sins. And that precious gift that was given her was faith. "Thy faith hath saved thee." I mentioned just now, faith having to do with the justice, the holiness, the righteousness, the law of God. That faith is a saving grace. As he who gives it gives also that faith to view his dear Son. But if there is not that first preparation, there will not be this second work of the giving of faith in Christ. None but the wounded patient knows the blessing of the cure. He shall save his people from their sins. His people will be saved from their ignorance of their sins. They shall be saved from the unfeelingness. They shall be saved from the blindness. They shall be made by him to see and feel themselves, to be nothing but a lump of sin in his sight. The Lord may do this in a moment of time. He evidently did so in a very short space of time with the thief on the cross. We may work over a number of years. Here a little and there a little. Showing generally first the sins in the life. What is sin? It is the transgression of the law of God. That law of God, so broad, so high, it is spiritual. Oh, it is the law of God. What a vital thing. What a mercy if God acquaints us with himself. It's a mercy if he acquaints us with himself even in respect to his law. And his law, it makes known God, doesn't it? It's the testimony of God. This is the God I am. This is that which I require of my people. This is my standard. And when Jesus was asked to summarize the law, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself." And everything springs from that. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, that law. It extends right to the very root of man, to his heart. The Pharisees were so particular about washing their hands. And Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Not that which entereth in defiles the man. That which proceedeth out of his heart. And the Lord, he also makes himself known to his people in his law, in the speaking of the sentence relative to the transgressions of that law. Cursed is everyone that continueth in all, not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now this woman, she was blessed with this faith. She knew her sinfulness in some measure. But she was also blessed with faith in the Saviour of sinners. Because we read, when she heard that Jesus was in the house of this Pharisee Simon, she went to him. Oh, the kindness of God. Having made this woman know what a sinner she was, then to make her know that there was a Saviour, there is a Saviour, then to grant her that especial privilege of the Holy Spirit to preach Christ to her, in such an attractive way. And that is what the Holy Spirit always does. This is how you may know whether you have ever had Christ preached to your soul by the Holy Ghost. It's always an attractive ministry. You see, there was a need of that case. We read in the Old Testament, The great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish. The word of God makes it clear, these are the characters that come, ready to perish. It's not just like this that a sinner will acknowledge, well, yes, I do fail, I admit that. I do what I ought not to do. My dear friend, if that's as far as you've come, may the Lord in mercy lead you on to the point of being a perishing sinner. When your guilt is pressing upon your conscience, when it is an urgent pressing case, when your guilt cannot be removed in false ways. How many false ways men find, you and I find, to clear ourselves of our guilt? A multitude of ways. We could just mention one or two of them as they might come to my mind now. The way the Pharisees cleared their own consciences, their own doings, their own doings. Well, yes, I sin, but I go to chapel and I'm kind to my neighbour. I'm very generous here and there, and I say my prayers regularly. I read the Bible. I go to chapel. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Yes, I'm a sinner, but oh, Jesus Christ is a great Saviour. Oh, the peril of making assumptions, the peril of presumption. The Lord delivers his people from it. And it's not an easy way. Oh, that way back God brought Jonah. That way back God brought Samson. That way back the Lord brought Peter. That way back the Lord brought David. And what is it? They were all feelingly perishing sinners. And when you're a feelingly perishing sinner, assumptions, presumptions won't relieve that dreadful feeling of being a perishing sinner. Because you're convinced of the unbelief. I think it was this time last year I tried to speak in the evening from that word, the promise of the gift of the Spirit. When he is come, he will convince, margin, reprove of sin. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Oh, convinced and pierced through and through, he thinks himself the sinner chief. Good creeds may stock his head about, but in his heart no faith is found. When together with those sins in your words and your actions and your thoughts, together with all those commissions, there are all those omissions, and there is this dreadful unbelief, there is this dreadful hardness of heart, there is this dreadful lack of repentance. A perishing sinner. Well, she heard of Jesus in such a way as brought her. And look how faith brought her. The first thing I want to point out to you about the faith that the Lord blessed her in coming to Jesus was how low it brought her. At his feet. Zacchaeus. Make haste and come down. That's where the Lord will meet his people, at his feet. And that means a beggar poor. That means having no plea, but God be merciful to me, a sinner. That means having no call upon him unto whom you approach, but his name, his blood, his righteousness. That means not coming with something, but coming with nothing. We talk about coming with nothing, but oh, how little we really are there. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. She was blessed with real godly sorrow for her sin. Oh, beg of God to give it you, my dear friend. It's the sweetest sorrow you can ever have, and the bitterest sorrow you can ever have. The bittersweet of godly sorrow for sin. Why is it the bitterest thing? Because it is sin against the great, the good, the holy God. It is a dreadful thing itself. It has a dreadful sentence accompanying it. Why is it the sweet thing? Oh, because it is the grace of God bringing the sinner, leading the sinner to repentance. One man put it like this, I believe it was Mr. Frank Gosden, the late Mr. Frank Gosden. He used to say, oh, for a moment's real godly sorrow, real repentance. It is the soul, the living soul of the child of God that finds it such a good thing to be brought to his feet. Oh, that's why it's such a sweet thing, because it is the grace that really brings a sinner to the feet of Jesus. It brings them from afar. It brings them from the ends of the earth. It brings them up out of the belly of hell in their soul's feelings. It causes them to look again toward that holy temple. She wept. Oh, my dear friend, that we might know the outpouring of the Spirit in the day in which we live ourselves and among our congregations, weeping over sin. Have you ever in your life wept over your sins? Wept because of the sin itself. Not just because of the sentence. Not because of the condemnation. Not because of the damnation you greatly feared was before you. But over the sin itself. Oh, the grace of God. That can make the hard heart. Those of you here this afternoon that are troubled. Because your eyes are so dry. Your heart is so hard. What this portion speaks of is not the work of man, it's the work of God. There may be one here and you say, I can't follow this woman. One step she took. Well, even from that place you feel to be in, where you can't follow that woman one step, from that place you may beg of God, Lord, lead me every step thou didst lead that woman. Because, Lord, what was at the end of that path thou didst lead that woman in? The blessing my soul would have. The blessing my soul needs above all else. The forgiveness of my sin. The preciousness unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. There may be those of you here this afternoon who can look back to times in your life where Christ has made himself so precious. It's set forth here by this ointment she brought. My head with oil, he said to Simon, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. There was the same grace working in this woman as there was in that woman later who brought the alabaster box of ointment, very costly. She hath done what she could. Oh, grace, causing this person to think nothing of any expense. Oh, my dear friend, we're made willing to part with all. If any man will come after me, said the Lord Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. But you see, this grace, what is it that is needed? What is it that we might speak of in a spiritual sense regarding this willingness to bring this alabaster box of ointment? Oh, it's that faith that makes a sinner willing to leave all for him. Oh, that overcoming grace. How many times in your life and mine, my dear friend, there may be a sluggard's desire. The book of Proverbs said, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. It's a lazy desire. Oh, this ease or that ease comes in the way. Because there isn't ease for the flesh when a sinner is on the stretch for pardon. There isn't ease for the flesh. There isn't an accommodation of the flesh when a sinner really is after Christ. But the soul of the diligent should be made fat. Oh, this woman was a diligent seeker. I don't speak of it to the glory of this woman, not one whit. The glory is Christ, but the point I'm trying to set before you is this, what you and I need. And some of us have proved it, that we can't make ourselves diligent, but some of us have proved, I believe, that God is able to, and he does so. And he does so in making us really want it. He does so in making us really need it. It's not something, well, it would be nice to have this blessing. My dear friend, you'll never get Christ until you're brought to that point. I must have Christ. As all in all, or sink in ruin, guilt and thrall. But oh, what wondrous grace is that overcomes our unwillingness to part with trash, that we might win Christ. Paul speaks of it, doesn't he, right into the Philippians, I count all things but dung and dross, that I may win Christ and be found in him. The truth is, my dear friend, all things else are dung and dross. Compared to Christ, I am dung and dross. My dear friend, you won't be saved getting under the wing of a minister. You won't be saved getting the accreditation of a minister. You'll never perish under the wing of Christ. You'll never perish. If you get from his mouth this that this woman had, thy sins are forgiven thee. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. This faith then that this woman had, it brought her to him seeking this blessing. Now this is so important. This is so vital. All salvation consists in personal communion with Christ. Was it Luther that said, I can have nothing to do with an absolute God? God makes himself known through the person of his dear Son. He is the express image of his Father. He is the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God, made man for the salvation of his church. But the important thing is the being brought to him, and that's what this woman was. She was brought to Christ. Mysteriously, how mysterious are God's doings. He brings it about through the fleshly working of the mind of Simon the Pharisee. But the purpose of God in it. Simon the Pharisee invites Christ to his house. But there's a woman who creeps in uninvited. Uninvited by Simon, but invited by the Holy Ghost. Invited by the sound of the gospel. And coming to him, believing he is who he is. Believing he's able to save even me. Believing he's able to forgive even my sins. Now, the Lord help me to try and preach this one. That the Holy Ghost might preach him to some poor sinner this afternoon, that they might even this afternoon be found coming to this one. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son, who took all his people's transgressions and made them his own. Who is this that forgiveth sins? Who is this that forgiveth sins? It's the Son of his Father. The one in whom the Father chose his church. The one unto whom the Father gave his church. The one who was given in covenant by his Father this bride. She's in all her filthiness, all her defilement, all her own evil, wicked nature, all her dreadful bondage under the law of God, all her guilt, all her helplessness, all her ruin, in all the ugliness of human nature in the Adam fall, in all the enmity of their heart, in all the unbelief, under the curse of the law. Now this one that forgiveth sins is he who was made man, that he might die for these people. Made of a woman, made under the law. Mysteriously and incomprehensibly, blessedly made man. The law pertains to man. These people, these sinners like this woman, men. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice, my words are to the sons of men. O ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Oh, when the Lord gives a person an understanding heart, like he gave this woman, what is it? It's the understanding of faith. There may be those who can speak full of words concerning the doctrines. But the vital thing, and this woman had it, was faith in the person. Faith in the person of Christ. She had that understanding which was so unspeakably precious. Beware, my dear friend, of having one of those earthly ways of getting the guilt of sin off your conscience. Fully understanding in your head how God can forgive sins, even perhaps able to argue with people and split hairs in doctrine, but never coming to that blessed Christ. Well, this person then, the Lord, the Spirit, causes his people to believe on. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because God required of his Son that payment for this bride, the ransom price. That Elihu spoke of when he preached to Job. I have found a ransom. My son, willing to give himself a ransom. At his father's command. I lay down my life, I take it again. This commandment have I received of my father. This woman was a notorious sinner. Christ bore every one of those notorious sins. He was made sin for her who knew no sin. That death, the sentence of the law, there's a man found who can bear the sentence of the law. He's commanded by his father to bear it. His father smites him with that sentence, and he's willing to bear it. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. How many of these, this woman's sins? All of them. All of them. The unbelief, the hardness of heart, the lust, whatever it was, she was notorious for. Oh, she may, and she did run the score to lengths extreme. But who is this one she approaches unto? The Son of God manifest in the flesh. He who became in his birth what he was not before, but never ceased to be what he eternally was. Because that was alone how this man could bear those sins. Just this woman's sins. She couldn't bear them, nor could any man from the Adam race. But this man bears them. He must be a man to bear them. But he must be God to be able to bear them. He must be man to be able to fulfill that law. He couldn't fulfill it if he is not under it. He must be God to be able to fulfill it because it's such a holy divine law. And that punishment to be able to die, which was what the law required, he must be man. But by his death to put sin away, by his death to suffer, by his death to make himself that offering, there must be that sufficiency to remove forever from the eye of God and from this woman and every one of these people's hearts and consciences the guilt of that sin and the power of it forever. And forever. Who is this that forgiveth sins? He's the servant of his Father, who declares his Father's will as well as doing his Father's will. But who is this that forgiveth sins? He who said, I that speak unto thee am he, to the woman at the well. Who is this that forgiveth sins? He that said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My dear friend, it's not sufficient for us to come as far as to say, yes, this is God's eternal Son. This is God's eternal Son made flesh. He forgave his sins because he bore those sins and died for those sins. The sinner taught of the Spirit knows they need to know Christ in a better way, in a fuller way. They need to know him not only as the Redeemer on Calvary's cross, but the Redeemer in their heart and in their life's experience. The Redeemer who is able to redeem them because he is able to speak forgiveness. Speak forgiveness. Who is this that forgiveth sins? No. He said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Look at this. Everyone that comes to Christ, as this woman comes in faith, comes venturing wholly on him who is the Son of God, the Son of Man, venturing wholly on his precious sin-atoning blood, pleading only that blood. Pleading only that name, looking singly to him to save me, to forgive me, only because of what he has done, only because of the blood he has shed, only because of who he is, only because of the grace that he is full of, the grace that his Father has treasured up in him. Not on account of anything about me. Now, poor sinner here this afternoon who says, my sins are too many. Now, who is this that forgiveth sins? Your sins cannot be too many. Because this one who forgiveth sins is Jesus Christ, of whom the word of God saith, all manner of sin and of blasphemy shall be forgiven. But the one that says, yes, but my heart is hard. Who is this? The one that said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The one that says, but I haven't got the faith this woman had. Who is this that forgiveth sins? He of whom the apostle said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This one of whom we read in the Acts of the Apostles, when that poor lame man, lame from his birth, was healed. And the Apostle Peter said, the faith that is by him hath made this man perfectly whole. Thy faith hath saved thee. Not thy works. Not thy repentance. Not thy desires. Thy faith. A naked venture on Christ. That's it. Oh, my dear friend, what mediators you and I try to make. We think, oh, I haven't prayed enough prayers. You never pray enough prayers. You'll never do anything. You'll never do anything sufficient for that thing that you do should be a mediator. You say, I don't feel my sins as much as I ought. No, how could you? Well, you try and make prayers your mediator. You try and make tears your mediator. You see, this was the difference with this woman. Yes, she was a praying woman. She was a weeping woman. But she didn't look to her prayers or her weeping to save her. She prayed and she wept in faith. She prayed and she wept in hanging on those feet of the Lord Jesus. It was him. And that's what faith is. It is that naked venture of a poor sinner only upon Christ. What does the word say? Everyone that asketh receiveth. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Thy faith has saved thee. Now, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. thy sins are forgiven. Forgiveness. God's forgiveness. God, Jesus here speaks the will of his Father, which is one with his will. One will. Thy sins are forgiven. God does not hold them against you. God does not require of you what that law demands for those sins, because God hath required it of his Son. Forgiven. Oh, God, smiling graciously in compassion, forgiveness. Oh, this barrier of sin removed. God removing it. Forgiven. We might speak of this forgiveness. The spring of it is love. But the working of it is the redemption. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Loving kindness. The loving kindness of the Saviour. Thy sins are forgiven. I have borne those sins. Oh, you sung in that hymn just now. How can these sins be forgiven? How can this guilty sinner be accepted by God? How can mercy and justice be reconciled? Through him who paid that price. This blessed advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We see this woman had it from his own mouth. The way alone we may have it. Now that is not to say that all the Lord's people actually hear the Lord say to them the words, thy sins are forgiven. But all of them will not be left to rest until they have had this blessing conveyed to them. With some, it is conveyed not by the words spoken, but by the view, by faith of him who gives it. Oh, if the Holy Spirit should kindly answer your begging for mercy by giving you a glimpse by faith of Christ on the cross, you won't need him to say, thy sins are forgiven. He says it by revealing himself. I mentioned yesterday at South Morton that gracious, godly man, Richard Dawe, hearer of William Huntingdon, that is, until he was too deaf to hear. But oh, he had that wonderful vision of Christ. He saw him as a poor, careworn man pass before him. And in seeing him, his sins were forgiven. His heart was broken. His soul was set at liberty. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him and be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Thy sins are forgiven. Not through anything you've done. No, I have done it, says God. Thy sins are forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Oh, what a cure for the guile of our hearts, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if Christ appear, there's the cure for the guile. The cure for everything, poor sinner. Thy sins, thy unbelief, thy lust, thy pride. Thy covetousness, thy worldliness, thy idolatry, thy adultery, thy fornication, murder, thy hatred of God, thy enmity against him forgiven, thy hard speeches, thy rebellion forgiven, thy sins are forgiven. It is a just forgiveness. How could God require those sins, the payment of those sins at the hand of his Son, and require the payment at the hand of another? He is just in this forgiveness, an eternal forgiveness. That blood of Jesus Christ has put those sins away forever. They'll never resurface. The guilt may return and remain in your soul's experience, but as the hymn writer said, the power of this fountain may be proved again and again. In your experience, you may lose the sense of the forgiveness of sins, but that doesn't mean you've lost the forgiveness of sins. An eternal forgiveness. Oh, an eternal bliss. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now this is peace. Peace, perfect peace. Because the cause of the conflict, the cause of the warfare, is sin, isn't it? And when God, by his Son, forgives your sins, child of God, your soul is at peace with God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and hath committed unto us, says Paul, the ministry of reconciliation. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Come down, Zacchaeus. Come down, poor sinner. Come down from all those notions of there being some good in you. Come down from all those notions of there being no possibility of your sins being forgiven. Come down and beg, like this woman did. You'll never perish at his feet. Go in peace. Oh, that blessed peace. She came with a war going on in her heart. She went away in peace. Here's the direction then of the Spirit to those here this afternoon, and you feel the opposite of peace. The Lord, the blessed Spirit, bring you to the peacemaker. All those words of his. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And what does the apostle say? Here's our peace. You see, when Jesus said to this woman, thy sins are forgiven thee, he gave her himself. She couldn't have forgiveness without that gift, the unspeakable gift. Oh, God's unspeakable gift to his people. Poor sinner, this is what you need. This is what I need. Oh, however poor we are, however undone we are, however guilty, if God give us his Son, what peace. He is our peace. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, and tea will be served shortly on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song. the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue, thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Number 11.
Do forgive all that has been wrong in thy pure and holy sight. Do bless thy own word, we thank thee for it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.